This is not Dr. Tarr. This is, however, Professor Feather, or is it?
And I am Dr. Retar, a.k.a. the Midnight Gadfly.
Or is it?
Or is it?
I am Dr. Head, or is it? And you are listening to... Fellow inmates, welcome to another therapy session. Tonight's therapy session we're calling Inception Paprikash, because Professor Feather loves that name so much. Yes, we are talking about the 2006 anime Paprika. And this is a science fiction, science fantasy, psychological thriller, police procedural movie that follows a dream terrorist who causes nightmares by using and stealing a device that allows others to kind of share in other people's dreams and to manipulate them. And so we have a psychologist who's researching things, and a police officer who are trying to find this dream terrorist to return this device called a DC Mini, attaches to your head. And this tool, in theory, is to be used as a research device, helping therapists and psychoanalysts and psychiatrists to understand their patient more by delving into their dreams. And so that is the basic gist of it. The director is Satoshi Kon, who this is his fourth, last film, but he did movies like Tokyo Godfathers. He did Perfect Blue, Pat Labor 2, Rujin Z. He was also on television. He did some JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. He did a lot of manga. And Paprika is a movie, if you like your anime that where you have to really kind of pay attention to. This might be one of our.
You did say it was anime.
anime. Yeah. It's a Japanese animation style, so you will be experiencing the wonderful world of anime. And movies like Paprika are what makes anime so great, I think, when it takes these serious stories. Because it's not just a story that unfolds that's special about Paprika. It's the animation style itself. Because we're working in the world of dreams here, you get to see representations of these people's dreams and how they're being manipulated. So we have nightmare landscapes, fantasy landscapes, all kinds of weirdness going on because we are dealing with dreams, altered states of reality. And then in time, the dreams and the reality, everything kind of comes close together and invading each other's world. So you're not really sure. Maybe sometimes, are you watching the reality? Are you watching a dream? Is it a little bit of both? Midnight Gadfly, what are your thoughts about Paprika?
I think it's really good. It's almost like Videodrome, in that you have no idea whether you're seeing something that's real or not, and when it is and when it's not. And then there's a whole kind of mystery there as to who really is Paprika and her relationship to the psychologist. Which I don't even know if I know at the end of the movie what that whole thing is, whether, is she some sort of metaphysical being in the dreams that hooks up with this person. I think it's really good in that it doesn't just deal with the weirdness of the dream. It's got really good dialogue and it's got really good story. So the play between the characters and the characters that you expect to go in a certain arc, kind of do a switcheroo every once in a while. And it still has that kind of whimsical anime characters that you would find in Speed Racer, right? So the little short doctor, that's in there. That's kind of
anime archetypes, the exaggerated.
Exactly.
The
he's one of the few, he's, He's one of the few in this movie, though. This movie doesn't really, push the archetypes and the stereotypes at all. That's one of the beauties of the movie. Go ahead.
I was just wrapping up. I'm like, I just like the backstories of the characters as well, especially the cop, his whole story and and how they just kind of set it up at the beginning where he goes, I hate movies. I don't like movies. Mm-hmm. I'm like, watch a movie. And he's like, I hate movies, And you're like, what's the deal here? And then when they explain it, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. So.
Yeah. And we see that woven throughout because his dreams are the ones we're seeing at the very beginning. And it moves from like a Tarzan sequence to like an action sequence to like a romance sequence, and then it ends with him seeing the someone fleeing the sign of a murder that he's been trying to solve for all these years. And that's one of the twists. That's one of the interesting twists of the revelation of what happens to these characters throughout
the movie. That being the beginning of the movie, I thought, oh, what is this going to be, like a Japanese version of Archer? The TV show cartoon Archer. Because the guy, he's got them, the kind of Archer feel to him. But then it just goes sideways from there.
Yeah, everything melts. It's like the world, the land around him literally melts and bends and folds. And then you're off onto some kind of trip. Like, okay, this is the animation that's going to be working as part of the style of the storytelling. And so that the visuals are every bit as important as the story. Professor Feather.
This is a brilliant movie. This is one of the best movies I've watched in a long time. And I'm not an anime fan, we've talked about before. And there are even problems within this that bother me, but it's so good that I overlook those, totally overlook them because the writing is so good. And it's fucking Jack Kirby art. The detail in this is mind-boggling. This is a movie that you can't just watch once for the visuals, because the visuals are so deep and they're not just deep. They're deep in with a lot of meaning too. It's not just, we're going to make things up, at random. A lot of the stuff, it seems to have meaning, in it within the backdrop. If you really look at it and try to, make it some kind of a comparison. It's a beautiful film, and the writing. Who wrote it?
The writing, the screenplay was by Seishi Minakami and Satoshi Kon, who was also directed it. So he had a hand in writing it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because he had done manga and other things before, so he's used to writing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Minakami.
Yeah. Yeah. I remembered that he was part of them, but I, forgive me, I do not, can't recall their names.
The animation director, Masashi Ando, the animation director.
That was the animation director?
Director, who did Evangelion, Ghost in the Shell, Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke. So tons of stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff.
Yeah, and so the animation is rich.
Yes. Oh man, it's just beautiful. And as Gadfly said, the storyline is really good. I'm a Cronenberg sucker from way back, and this fits right into that whole what is real and what isn't. The Philip K. Dick, we'll take it into that realm, what is real and what isn't. And this is perfect for that, But the unraveling of the story is just absolutely brilliant. The pacing of this movie is great. There's almost no downtime in this movie at all because it's so well written.
It's a very.
I gotta keep coming back to that. So many times we talk about movies and we really don't talk about the writers. It's always the director. It's his vision. But a lot of times that director has a word to go by, words to go by. And that wordsmith is usually, top quality. We don't talk about him as much as we should, I think. But this is whoever wrote this and, the collaboration of the writing. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, and we talked about Paprika. There's this whole symbiotic relationship between what is she, a psychologist and Paprika, that becomes... That's one of the real reality twists And I'm still a bit confused. I've only seen this movie once, I hate to say. So I'm a bit confused. Like,
it doesn't give you the answers.
It never does. It doesn't really tell you who Paprika really is. Or
well, in a way, but I mean, in a way that, because she, I believe she's the alter ego for the psychiatrist, I guess, because they have this relationship, and I think it is her, because there's a scene where the bad guy's trying to, you know, he takes Paprika's body and like rips the skin off, and underneath, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, there she is.
Yeah.
So it's her dream world alter ego for what I'm taking from that. Like, and she's both, because she's also using Paprika to help in a therapeutic way for mm-hmm. her. She's mm-hmm. using it illegally, you know, because she's this, you know, cutting edge therapist, but that's, you know, the device, but I think that's supposed to be her. But at the end, she becomes like a separate entity.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the thing.
Well,
like
that was happening through the whole thing.
Well, you see her in like reflections and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's where you're thinking, okay, that's a clever way to do it.
There's the one scene too where you first see the connection between the two of them is where she's like in the hospital or something when the short doctor gets messed up, and something is about to happen to her. The dream is overtaking her, and Paprika shows up, and she goes, "No, not yet." And Paprika disappears, and then all this shit happens, and then Paprika, you know, comes in and kind of saves the day.
Yeah.
I was very confused.
It's just complex and intricate, mm-hmm. you know. And there again, you're trying to figure out. This is why this movie is just so goddamn amazing. Is you're trying to figure all that out, and watching all this beautiful visuals going on at the same time, you know. And sometimes you're going, God, that's really good. Oh, that's so fucking good. What's the story? Shit, I've lost the thread. You know, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, you're working on two separate levels. So that's why I said this is not a movie that you should watch once by any means. I mean,
if you can find a dubbed copy, I have no idea if there are any out there.
I don't really care about, but, like I said, yeah. But that would be for a lot of us, you know, single language Americans.
Yeah, I prefer the original language, and so I don't mind reading the subtitles, but sometimes I simply just want to watch a movie and not be able to listen in my own language. And so I like having options, but I get it. I totally understand that, but it is beautiful in a way that few anime are. That there's like multiple levels of anime, and like, you know, the Speed Racer and things like that were very passable. But when you see them compared to movies like this, you see a world of difference. And I think
it's
like
a whole
this,
different style.
Yeah. It's a different style of anime, and they're, you know, but like I love the 70s. It's probably my favorite era of anime because that's what I'm used to. I see these robots, I see the shapes, and that's when I was a kid watching Speed Racer. I get that. But when I look at movies like this and Akira, it was like the first one movie I've seen that were like the animation is almost like movie quality. Like it is so detailed and perfect.
Yes.
Especially the scene where like the glass is falling out of the sky really slowly. I'm like, I'm sitting there going, fuck. Oh my God. I'm used to like Star Blazers and stuff like that, which is great. I love it. But I'm watching
this is a whole different
anime.
Level. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I first started watching this, because I knew nothing about this, about that it was on.
Oh, really?
I'd never seen it before either.
I did not know that.
It popped up in my feed. I was doing like it just popped up on a movie site that I was visiting and not downloading from, and and it came up on my feed. I'd asked, you know, like to talk with some friends, like, hey, do you know about this Paprika? And they go, oh yeah, you really really like it. I'm like, okay, cool, that sounds good. And I was blown away, just like you were, Professor Feather. So
yeah, it's just amazing, a wonderful, you know. A couple of hours spent that, you know, I count those hours, you know, pretty special. And this is one of those movies, man. Yeah. And it's not a movie I'm going to never go back to. You know, I'll probably mm-hmm. watch this movie a half a dozen times at least, you know, here in the next 6 months, because I'm so enamored of it. You know, I just think it's, mm-hmm. it's just one of the greatest things I see. We've done some pretty amazing movies here on the podcast, you know, that I would have probably not been able to see, or, you know, that's one of the beauties of this whole thing. You know, you know, you hit a gem like this, you know, or what's the other one? There's a ton of them that we've
Jesus
wanted.
Based in a
spaceship. Yeah, yes, that's that. That's I can't remember the exact.
Everything Everywhere All at Once is what.
That's it. Oh, Everything yes. Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Is that's right. That's one of the best movies we've. Asteroid City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
that was
one
great.
Of the best movies that you know we've ever done.
We've got some other ones that are even they're not like these great masterpieces, but they're so enjoyable. Like Strawberry Mansion was really good.
Dave Made a Maze.
Brilliant. I would watch that anytime. Yes, and a movie like this, I would give to someone who'd never watched anime because when I tell people anime is like I think I read a stat once, and maybe it's not as accurate anymore, but like 30% of Japan's film output is animated, you know, anime. So I'm like, that's a huge number of animated products. So, you know, they obviously have a giant machine putting this stuff out, but it is such a well known, beloved award winning anime. I would certainly play this for people who'd never, you know, never seen an anime before.
Yeah. A true movie buff.
Right.
You have to be. Yeah. And that we something.
You like
we
a mystery, you like
about.
A thriller, you like noir, yes. You like all those things. You like science fiction, you like fantasy.
Yeah.
You know,
this is.
You're going to get it. All. Yeah. And, you know, anime, if people out there may not be as familiar with it, you know, anime comes in like every genre, just like films.
Yeah.
So you can find anime that are like sex romp comedies or rom-coms, dramas, slice of life, sports, racing, you know,
tentacle.
Yeah. The hentai stuff.
Hentai.
Yeah. Yeah. You can find anything, you know, out there. And that's what's kind of awesome about it. Cause even if a series is usually self-contained, but the things you can do with animation are so much more extreme and visually appealing than you can do with live action or, you know, sometimes CG is caught up, I think, in a lot of ways, but it's so much cheaper and efficient to do the animation. And I prefer that style. I've been a fan of anime before I knew the word.
Yeah. That's interesting because there's a lot of CG in Paprika.
Yes.
And they're able to do CG that looks like cell animation, you know, and I think this was one of the earlier adopters. They also mixed actual photography with it. So
yeah,
those were not, but it's
kind of animated.
That gets into the concept of it being a movie talking about itself, you know, and the other thing we are. Unsane Radio, pop and unpop culture. This is a study of pop culture, especially Japanese pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like an intellectual study of Japanese culture and told into itself. It's Ouroboros, you know, that it's beautiful. I'm sorry. I gush.
No, it's good. Well, it's worth it. I think it's worthy, and I'm so pleased that it turned out so good. I'm like, wow, this is a movie I want to keep. I'm going to watch again because, like there is a depth of story here that I know I'm missing things this first time through. I'm getting the gist. I'm getting the story, but I want to watch it again because I'm going to pick up things I missed the first time. Because I know what's going to happen. I can watch those things, and then I want to pay more attention to the animation. But that blew me away. That first dream sequence, the guy's chasing. Okay, we got a chase here, and like the floor starts bending and melting. I'm like, oh, then falling through into a circus, and like everything just dissolving. I'm like, oh, that's really great. You know, that's awesome. It reminded me of the nightmare sequence in Akira. It really did, especially when the parade of like stuffed animals and toys and people and robots, you know, start marching down the street or wherever they show up. That style reminds me of when the Kaneda is and they are being experimented on, and like they start like morphing it toward the end, and their bodies turn into this giant cancerous versions, and stuff is very liquidy. You know, it was that kind of animation. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah,
and the toy parade becomes very germane to the plot, you know, because there's a lot of zooming in about in that, you know, that brings up the other character that we haven't really mentioned. And that's what's his name? The inventor, the kid.
Kosaku Tokita.
Tokita.
Doctor.
Okay.
Doctor.
Doctor. Yeah. Tokita. Tokita. Yeah.
My favorite character.
He's great.
Oh, yeah. And he's one of the aspects of pop culture that they've, you know,
he's the consumer, the literal consumer of popular culture.
And then the spewer out of popular culture.
Right.
And they delve into the morality of this device, because what happens is there's a whole psychiatric network out there that are kind of experimenting with all this stuff. And you mentioned it. What happens is dreams from one gets into another, and they combine. They become a third dream. That's kind of, then it moves on from there. But
it's propelling it, right? And then then it kind of grows and splits.
It's like a virus.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
the science fiction aspect of it is right up there with the top. Yes. Of science fiction, pure science fiction or speculative fiction, because a lot of the greatest science fiction also deals with morality.
Yes. Oh,
we
yeah.
We can do
yeah.
this, but yeah. should we?
Yeah.
And I, you know, especially when it comes to technology and weapons and things like that, a lot of the morality comes in. Like, and then you got to figure out, well, whose morals are we looking at? What is the moral standard we have here?
Right.
You know,
well, that's kind of what Tokita says, you know, when confronted, you know, about this is not moral, you know, this is not. And he,
then she says, philosophy has been disconnected from technology, you know?
Yes.
And so there's like that disconnect. And I would, yes. What I like about what happens with the connection of the dreams is it ends up becoming its own space. So mm-hmm. that all those dreams become like the collective unconscious. So it now becomes a place that you can go to and that can be manipulated based on
right.
know, certain things. Mm-hmm. And it's, to me, that was really cool as it developed that way, because it didn't feel that way at first. But as you went through the movie, they were more and more just in the dreamscape, and you knew they were in the dreamscape.
Yeah. It's like Jung and Campbell together have a baby, you know? Yeah.
Right.
Oh, like, yeah, with Freud watching on. Dreams. Exactly. Come on,
he's,
dreams.
He's,
we're talking.
He's, yeah,
that's Freud.
Right. He's masturbating behind the corner. You know, Freud is.
Wait a minute. The cigars are in the next movie.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Wait. Hold on. I'm going to show you a picture of my mother. mommy.
That's just a whole nother level to the mm-hmm. to the movie, you know, and it's not
beaten over the head. That's the thing. If this were an American picture, if there was a morality play, they would just like bludgeon you with it.
Yeah. Ends up ultimately not having a real moral background. The entire plot movie has no real moral statement.
Right. They don't tell you. They just like said, here's what we use it for. We have people who want the good intent for this product to be able to help, but then you also have the people, you know, the ultimate villain steals it and realizes the technology is dangerous in the wrong hands.
Well, is this a metaphor for the internet?
Well, they talked a little bit about that too. How it's the same thing. The internet and the imagination, or the dreams, are the same kind of thing. It just allows you to express yourself. So they definitely make commentary on that. Again, great science fiction.
Pop culture.
Often makes commentary on what's going on in the culture, and this certainly does.
Exactly. Well,
the main psychiatrist, she's really smart and she's really manipulative, you know, because there's points where she's saying, if you look back on it, she knows the one guy is going to be the betrayer, you know, that it seems like the good guy, her partner, good guy, the good-looking guy, because she says, we're going to set up the heavy set doctor, you know, to take the fall for all of this. And then the next scene, she's telling the doctor he needs to get the fuck out of his masturbation tank, you know, and whatever weird shit that you're doing to do this. And you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And it becomes to the point where you figure she actually likes the doctor and suspects this other guy as being some sort of a mole or whatever. Like, he's almost too good to be true.
This is definitely an adult movie.
Rated R.
It's not a cartoon.
It's not a cartoon. Yeah. I just want to make that
Yeah, it's a it's
abundantly
for sure.
clear, because there's some disturbing scenes in it, you know. That, and that's, you know, that's all brilliant.
I like that it plays also with the tropes of, like, very rarely do you see someone being portrayed as obese in an
Oh, I
anime, you
know.
know, without it being like Pops Racer. But this was definitely part of who his character was, because there's even, like, they talk about how much he eats, because they're at the
Well, the
table.
tirade she does.
Yeah, and
Oh,
then he's like, "Who had this? Oh, that's me. That's me. That's me." You know, and just like you see him inhaling. But ultimately he's inhaling the food, but he's also inhaling popular culture, expelling it. But there's also, who else gets to inhale? Literally inhale, the bad guy is Paprika. So there's this notion of consumption, whether it's someone else's dreams or what the dreams mean. You want to consume, your fantasies all played out. There's this concept of consumption runs all, you know, all through the movie, which I
Exactly.
really love.
Yes, that's
When I
right.
was actually kind of jealous of him having all those meals, you know what I mean? I'm like sitting there going, I wish I could eat that much, because everything sounds really good. Like, if I could sit down and eat that much at one time that was that good, I would totally do it, you know? And then the whole time he's eating, he's spouting off all kinds of intelligent stuff, you know? I mean, he's
Yeah,
like,
and he's like, there again, he's almost oblivious to everything but his own little sphere, you know,
right.
and whatever generates out of that sphere just happens to happen, you know, like the mini DS, is that what it was? Mini
Mini
DS or DS
DC,
Mini?
yeah, Mini DC,
DC
or
Mini
DC Mini,
DC
DC Mini,
DC Mini, that's
that's
it.
it.
DC Mini.
DC,
The DC Mini is the device, the dream device that.
It's almost like, well, he
Which is
burst into him
really
as
a
like the,
Philip K. Dick type whole
oh,
thing, you
totally,
know?
right, yeah, totally. I could see Bradbury doing something like this, but a lot softer. It wouldn't be the hard police procedural, probably. It would be a softer, more. It would be focusing on the morality of it, you know.
Something Wicked This Way Comes is almost that.
Yeah, yes.
Think about the story and everything. Yeah. It's
Yeah.
a, you know, has the realm of the fantastic in it.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But yeah. Man.
So
But
in Paprika, who is the real bad guy? Like, who is it that's manipulating everybody? Because he manipulates Hatsuko, and then
yeah,
he,
that the guy that
the chairman?
morphs, the chairman.
Yeah, the chairman, was it Sejiro or something like that?
Yeah.
He's the one ultimately, because it gets, you see a couple of red herrings of who might be doing it. Nope, well, nope. But
Yeah.
it's end up him, and he's trying to protect dreams. That's what he says. He's
Yes.
believes they're
By
under threat
ruling them.
by ruling them. He yeah, and he yeah. That's really what it is. He's trying to protect them, and but in his own weird way. And he's already weaponized them. So he's obviously not the one to protect, you know. Yeah.
Yeah,
It's
and I brought up the tentacles because of him.
Oh yeah. At the
Yeah.
end.
Well, yes, there is the metamorphosis, you know, and then tentacle porns come out. Like, it he turns into the what's the big octopus from The Little Mermaid, you know, essentially the
Oh,
bottom
yeah.
legs kind of grow up. You know, I am Tentacle Groot, you know, and then, right, that's what I saw too. I'm like, oh, is Paprika gonna get, you know, sucker punched here? You know, yeah, I've seen tentacle porn, like Yuratsuka Doji. That was like the first time I think I'd seen a hentai, and that was at the video up, was a Video Spectrum in
Oh,
Bowling Green, when, you know, I remember seeing that, and I was just impressed that the girl behind the counter knew, you know, said Yuratsuka Doji. And I said, it kind of, I'm like, I told Tim was with me, I said, that kind of turned me on. I have to say, I will admit, I'm feeling something down there that she could say Yuratsuka Doji, and she knew this. I'm like, I might have found the next girl I'm not going to ask out. But
Well,
yeah, that was crazy stuff.
what's the other one is that I saw that freaked me out? Well, and I thought it was good, but it had some really kind of questionable stuff in it. Was Ninja Scrolls?
Oh,
That
yes.
whole demon part where he
Oh,
grabs
yeah.
the girl and pulls her legs apart and just sticks his tongue right down inside her. You're like, what the fuck? They don't cut it out or
Mom,
anything.
come watch this with me.
Well, the thing is I had just got done watching Ghost in the Shell and was blown away by Ghost in the Shell. And then, of course, Roger comes up to me and goes, "Oh, you got to watch Ninja Scrolls." I'm like, "Is it like Ghost in the Shell?" He goes, "Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's great."
But it is really good in its own
it's
right.
Really good.
It is.
Really
it is. Good.
But it's, yeah, but it's like you get to that. That happens very early on in the movie, and you're just like, what the fuck am I in for?
And you're realizing, oh, this hard R, it's earned.
It's earned,
you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally earned. Yeah,
it's R,
so
and I'm hard.
I'm soft tar right now. Maybe later I'll become harder. I don't know. I might be too old for that.
Hard tar? Is that what you said?
Hard tar, yeah. So that's the back of my pants. I forgot what I was thinking. I'm too fucking high. It was something about anime. But this level of anime with so many complex things going on, it's the highest form of science fiction.
Yes.
And I love the questions, but it doesn't beat you over the head. It's told in a very Japanese style, very matter of fact, but it's organic to the part of the story. And as it unfolds and it still mentions those things, you realize, man, the depth of this can't be given all at once. They give you what you need, but it's just like layer upon layer upon layer. You're like, Jesus Christ, it just keeps on building and building. You know? Yeah. What a fantastic movie.
Well, that's what is it? Princess Mononoke. And what what else did he do? Far and Away, or what was the,
Let's see. I'm going to pull that up. The animation director here.
What's his name? I'm drawing a blank.
Michio,
it's not the animation director. It's the guy who,
the guy who's the director of all those.
Yeah.
My Neighbor Totoro and stuff. I forget. I don't know.
Pete Barbuti.
Yes.
No? Okay.
Ghost Speaking in the Shell. Community. He was Key Animation.
No, I'm thinking
Princess Mononoke. My Neighbor Totoro. Spirited Away.
Spirited Away. That's Spirited the one.
Hayao Miyazaki.
Miyazaki.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Miyazaki films, they're pretty trippy as well. Spirited Away, is that the one about the circus and the pigs and all that stuff where the kid comes in?
I think so, because My Neighbor Totoro is about a school bus,
right?
You know, and a big I think Spirited Away has got that. They got a lot of flying magical elements. Mononoke is beautiful fantasy, like a folk fantasy.
Yep. This is right up there, though. This movie is right up there. So if you haven't seen it, folks, go out and see it. It's on Tubi right now, as of this podcast.
I would recommend it. It's so good. I would say just buy it.
I would say buy it too.
If you do physical media, especially because they have a 4K Blu-ray out of it that's supposed to be really good.
Wow.
And I don't have 4K yet, but I'm thinking as soon as I get 4K, that's on my – I already put it on my list to get physical media of it because so I've been getting back into certain things for physical media. And there's certain things I don't need 4K. You know, like I'm like, I need Chopping Mall, but I don't need it.
Yeah.
I need it in 4K.
That's right.
Yeah.
Shelby Dead watch. Movies in 4K.
Oh, man. Chopping Mall. That's a total 80s movie.
Oh, yeah. We should do that sometime.
Yeah, Chopping Mall is a good one. What's the other thing? I just watched The Beekeeper.
That looked fun.
It is. It's fun. It's, you know, it's just a –
It's another Jason Statham. Yep. I'm going to shoot you up, blow you up. Like, that's fine. He knows his niche.
I saw the
trailer for it.
I watched it, yeah.
Yeah, and it comes on, I think, starts Monday here on our one of our streaming. So, it's on our list.
Yeah, it's on Prime, I think.
So. Okay.
Yeah, I did not like it at all.
Yeah, I just thought it was dumb fun.
And it wasn't even quite good fun. You know, several other movies recently have, you know, done that to a much better degree.
I know, but he's out to kill telemarketers. I fucking love that.
Well, that's the only
there's a lot of tongue in cheek in his movies. Jason Statham, rarely there's a lot of wry humor. Not a lot, but there's enough to, you know, it's like,
well, the story action. Is just really not good.
Yeah,
it's just really not a good story. You said, it is. You don't come into it to think it's going to be a really great movie. Because it's just definitely, I think it's not even one of his best.
You're going to see a lot of explosions and shooting.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer. I'm like, okay. But I do like Jason Statham in a lot of things, but I know what I'm getting into. Like, you know, it's like, okay, he's going to do his thing.
He's been around for a while, if you think about it.
Yeah. He's still making movies.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking
Lock,
Barrels.
Stock, and Yes. Yes.
That was really
all right.
Good.
Well, yeah, we're way
any,
off.
Any
of,
any more about paprika? Our
Inception Paprikash.
Inception Paprikash, our favorite spice. This is a spice girl you'll want to check out. So paprika, there you go.
From but I only use smoked paprika.
That's right. I've been smoking. Paprika and I are going smoking later on. I got some blueberry diesel right here.
Oh yeah, I just had a little tryst with Jenny Kush.
Here we go, Professor Feather. Who you been dancing with?
Take a dump, son.
He's been smoking Mexican dirt weed.
There we go. I want to get some Jenny Kush.
I'm into the past, man. Skunk.
Whatever
I like
happened
the black to line between the whites.
That's my nostalgia.
Whatever happened to Sensimillion?
Ooh.
If I'm not
I
buying
like
my
brand
weed, I'm some
Nonsensimillion.
Guy behind the old drive-in. I'm not buying my weed.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Nonsensimillion.
Nonsensimillion. That's great.
Oh, what's the other one? Humboldt County's got some killer weed. You go try to take their weed, they'll kill you. And you have been experiencing...
Radio.com.
And next time you're in Toledo, go to
Gadfly's house.
Yeah, go to Gadfly's house. There's a lot of
with a pound of weed.
Yeah, there's a lot of nudity from the chest up.
That's right. This is why there's a line. Get in line. Bring weed.
Yeah, you know, you got to visit Tony Paco's and get the chicken paprikash.
Oh, that's true.
Really good.
Really good chicken paprikash. Speaking of chicken paprikash, unsaneradio@gmail.com. It's paprikash of a different kind. And then there's also Tar and Feather Psycho Cinema. Yes.
And there's you're on the Facebooks.
Everywhere.
Right? Everywhere. They're everywhere. And movies on Vimeo?
No.
Oh, movies on YouTube.
YouTube.
Did the Vimeo channel you canceled that one?
Not yet.
Close. Oh, okay. Well, I got to make one more trip on air. To see
okay.
What I
all
seen.
Right. All right.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll download it. Speaking of downloading and our special heavy spice. Heavy Metal and Horror. It's on Facebook, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on YouTube, and Montag Lewis, one word, on Instagram. And speaking of something better than us, We Freaks, the family-friendly web comic, WEEFREEKZ, We Freaks, from our beloved Blue Fez, who will love it. Gadfly, where will you be half-nude this week?
At the methadone clinic. I thought it was a type of acting, but it's not.
Method One clinic. That's not all.
Yeah,
that's
method
not at all.
One. I'm like, Method One. Yeah, okay.
That's not at all what it was.
No.
I'm a Method One user.
I'm going to use that.
I know. Well, I thought the whole acting exercise was to pass out.